Thanks, Pastor Stuart. Well, it's great to be with you here this morning. It's a great honour and a privilege for me to come here and speak to you today. I can see that some of you are still in your pyjamas. It's great to be comfortable when we come to church in this way, but it's really a great honour and a privilege to be here this morning. Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you this morning that you are for each one of us. Lord, I thank you that whether we are gathered in this building or we are seated as individuals in our own homes, we are still the church. And you still love us and you still want to bless us and you still want to gather us and look after us and just love on us every day. God, we just thank you that we are your children. And we are the children of your promise. And this morning I pray that you will open our ears to your word. You will cause us to see more and understand about what you're doing and doing through our lives. Lord, we just want to bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think it's safe to say that 2020 will always be remembered as a year of great challenge and great change. And we are witnessing a season in time that will be remembered long past this season. We are witnessing a season and a time where things are changing. Look, I'm a person who I actually like change. I love change. But I also like watching and evaluating how these changes affect myself and other people. So it's been an amazing experience to watch how our society deals with this situation. You know, whether it be panic buying toilet paper, which really shocked me. I thought, well, if you're going to panic buy something, the first thing I thought of wouldn't have been toilet paper. Or whether it's the fanatical following of daily statistics on this virus. Or how both sides of politics have come together and work on this rather than argue about opinion. Or whether it's our response to cruise ships within our waters. But the range of responses to this situation have been dramatic. But the thing I've noticed and the thing that I've found that's been very evident is fear. This morning I would like to take two steps back from all this. And I would like to look at a Christian's response to fear. You know, I think it would be safe to say this morning that in the last 4 months, everyone would have experienced some level of fear regarding this situation. Whether it be how will I survive financially? Or will it be how do I pay my bills? Or is my body strong enough to withstand this virus? Will this thing get out of control? Will my family be safe? Will I run out of toilet paper? But I think it's very safe to say that we will have all experienced some sort of or some level of fear. And I know personally, I've wondered for ourselves, we're self-employed, so we have our own business, and I've been concerned, well, what happens if the work stops? What happens if it dries up completely? And you know, I've had to stop. And I've had to take those two steps back and go, what am I thinking? I will not allow myself to be controlled by fear. So I had to choose to turn to my foundation of truth. See, my provision, I believe, comes from my Father in heaven, not from this world. So as I turned my eyes to him, my heart changed. I went from fear to faith. Scripture started to flood my mind. Scriptures like Hebrews 13:5 that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. As I contemplated these things, memories flooded my mind of how God has provided for us and looked after us and taken care of us over many, many, many years of living a Christian life. And fear abated and faith filled my heart. You know, this morning, our destiny is not controlled by this virus, but by our God who loves us and looks after us. But first, I had to reject those feelings of fear. I made a decision a long time ago that I would not live my life bound by fear. Because 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Did you know this morning that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear? It's not His will, it's not His purpose, and it's not your destiny to live a life filled with fear. The spirit that God gave us is a spirit of love and of power and having a sound mind. It's not having a spirit of fear. See, fear paralyzes us. I can think of situations in my own life where I've been absolutely paralyzed so that I could not even move by fear. Fear contains us and keeps our lives small. Fear causes us to be negative and suspicious. Fear allows us to be controlled. Fear binds us to a life of anxiety. Well, the word says, "Be anxious for nothing," in Philippians 4, verse 6. God's will for our life is not for us to live anxious, not for us to live in fear, but to live free. Have you ever noticed how fear draws the negative into our lives? Now, I've noticed that people that surround me who are very fearful, they're constantly fearful of this and fearful of that and scared of this and scared of that. But it's almost like it opens the door for negative circumstances that happens in their lives. You know, Job figured this out. Job in the Bible, and considering that Job is one of the earliest books of the Bible, this goes back a very long way. And Job in 3:25 said this. He said, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." We've got to be very, very careful about what we allow ourselves to fear, because my experience has been is that that fear can draw those situations into our lives. You know, I make it my purpose not to be a person who fears those things so that those things don't come into my world. See, fear is the devil's favorite weapon against you. He has been using that weapon from the beginning. Right back when Adam and Eve were first created, they enjoyed fellowship with God in the garden. They were free of fear. They had peace. They just enjoyed God's presence and the beautiful creation that God had made for them. But after the devil had deceived them and sin entered, fear took hold. It even says in Genesis 3, verse 10, very, very early in the Bible, it says, "And Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden," speaking to God, "and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Fear has always been the devil's tool, and right from the beginning, he used it to separate mankind from God. And we have the choice of whether he will do that today. You know, Jesus came back and broke the curse of fear for all who would receive his gift. It says in John 10:10, and this is Jesus speaking, so this is important, you need to listen. Jesus said, "I have come to give you life and that you may have it more abundantly." So is he talking about a small life that is contained by fear? Is he talking about being constantly anxious and on the back foot about every situation of life? No, he's talking about a life that is large and voluminous. It's a life of abundance. This is not what he's not talking about, a life of fear here. He's talking about a life of freedom for fear. And Jesus purchased that freedom from fear for every one of us this morning. John 8:36 says, "Therefore, if the Son, being Jesus, makes you free, you shall be free indeed." At some point on my journey of understanding the deception of fear, I became aware of this scripture. And this is 1 John 4:18. It said, "He who fears has not been made perfect in love." And as I read that, I realized that this scripture has, it's like a progressive tense to it. It's not a statement that starts and finishes. It's a progressive tense statement. It says, "He who fears has not been made perfect in love." And I realized that my journey in God required me to learn to overcome fear. I noticed that in my association with other Christians that were more experienced in the things of God, that overcoming fear was a hallmark of the maturity of God. I noticed that people who I knew who were mature in God were never overcome by fear. They countered fear with faith. And you know, that was attractive to me. I saw that. And I watched that in people who have mentored me and people who have spoken into my lives. And I've realized I want that level of peace in my life, because without fear, you can live in peace. And dare I say this morning that we all want that. We all want to be people who can live in peace and not have to be constantly subject to fear. I want you to turn to a scripture with me. This is Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. It says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them," being Jesus, "let us cross over to the other side." Now then, when they had left the multitude, they took along in the boat, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" You see, let's stop there. At that point, the disciples' truth was, we were perishing. We're about to die. Jesus, we're about to sink. Let's read on. "Then he arose," being Jesus, "and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be, that even the wind and the seas obey him?'" You see, all of a sudden, the disciples' focus shifted. What they were thinking and what they were fearing, what they were believing, changed. They went from going, "We are going to be overcome by this natural disaster," to, "God has total control over all things." Even things they thought no man could control. Instantly, their foundation of truth shifted. You know, this parable is about going from fear to faith. Fear to trust, fear to having your foundation move to something that is solid, that is a foundation that doesn't shift. And they knew that all they needed now was Jesus in their boat. Well, this morning I'm going to take you through a few very practical, simple keys to helping you go from fear to faith. It's not God's will that you live subject to fear. It's not God's will that you are overcome by anxiety and stressed by the situations that are around us. We, like these disciples, need to have our foundation of truth shifted to a foundation that is strong and solid and does not move. Well, first of all, I believe to move from fear to faith, we need to make a decision not to be controlled or motivated by fear. We need to evaluate the fear that we're experiencing. See, you'd all be aware of how fear affects us. You know those sensations where you feel cold inside, or all of a sudden you feel it difficult to breathe, or all of a sudden your thinking is scrambled and fear just sort of grips you and overtakes your thinking. Well, we need to see those things as being indicators. We need to be aware of those things and go, no, when I experience those things, I will not be subject to that fear. It's a choice. But it needs to be evaluated. Evaluating the fear you're experiencing is important. See, fear comes on several levels. And there's a fear that warns and protects you. See, I could go and stand out on the freeway today, and I could stand there facing the oncoming traffic, and at some point, fear would cause me to get myself out of the way. That's a good fear. But what I'm talking about this morning is the fear that steals from us. The fear that takes our joy, that takes our peace, that takes that sense of protection, that takes that sense of God loving us unconditionally. We need to fight that fear. That fear is not God's will. See, it's the fear that says, you can't, that we need to question. It's the fear that says, you're going to die prematurely. It's the fear that says you're going to miss out, or you always fail, or I'm going to go broke, or this virus is going to get me. Whatever is contrary to trusting God and taking His peace, you need to reject it. Or at least you need to evaluate and say, why am I thinking such a thing? You need to choose to reject fear. You know, I'm going to give you a very simple example. Now, this is a really simple example. I had a woman come to the door of my house the other day, and she was selling solar systems. Now, I'm sure that we've all had many, many people come to our house and want to sell us a solar system to put solar panels on the roof of your house. And I welcomed her at the door, and she's a nice, young, smiling girl, intelligent girl. And she said to me, she said, "Sir, I would like to give you the opportunity, and this is a one-off opportunity. It's never going to happen again. It's never happened before. And you're never going to get this opportunity again." And she went through to tell me all the benefits of how much money I would save and how this was never going to be available for me again because the government are changing the laws. And sir, you need to respond to this today because this will be the last opportunity you get to make this incredibly good decision to put solar panel on the roof of your house. And at the end of her long dissertation and long sales pitch on trying to get me to buy her solar panels, she said, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "Sorry, it's not for me today." And she said, "Really?" She said, "Why would you not take up this opportunity to save money and to have this opportunity that is going to pass you by unless you take this today? Why would you do that?" And I said, "Because I will not respond to fear. I don't make decisions based on fear." And she looked at me strange. And she said, "Really?" And I said, "Yes." Said, "I've decided a long time ago that I would not base the decisions on my life according to fear. I will not be manipulated by fear to make decisions." And I said, "I'll probably get solar panels for the roof of my house, but I'm going to do it when I have peace, not when I have fear." And she was shocked.
And we talked for quite a while about this whole idea of not allowing ourselves to make decisions according to fear. I believe that we don't need to do that. We need to evaluate the fear that we experience in our lives and decide what we're going to do with that fear. The second thing I believe that we need to do when moving from fear to faith is check your foundations of truth. Now, I don't mean minor things. I mean, where are you? What's your source of truth? What do you believe? What do you believe is true? And where do you get that truth from? See, some people believe in science, but my experience is that science changes. And science is man's opinion. And science over my lifetime has changed dramatically. Well, you might get your source of truth from public opinion or cultural norms. You might even get your source of truth from the media. I'm going to make two statements. Did this virus originate in a wet market in China? Or was this virus created and released to bring world control? Now, I don't know which is true. And it doesn't matter to me because those statements, those things, that information isn't my foundation of truth. That might be true, sure. It might be false. It doesn't really matter to me because that information is not my foundation of truth. See, I have a healthy skepticism when it comes to those things. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. It's just that those things are not my source of truth. The media isn't my source of truth. Public opinion isn't my source of truth. Cultural norms aren't my source of truth. Science isn't my source of truth. And the third thing I think we need to do is trust the word first. Trust the word first. Let me show you something. Now, I'm 59 years old. And on my sixth birthday, I was given this little book. Now, this is a Bible that I was given in 1967. It says here, to Ian, November 1967. And it was given to my mum on her birthday, around about the same age, in 1940. And this is the Bible that I bought a couple of years ago that I read every day. Now, these are the same. This hasn't changed. This Bible, this little Bible that my mum was given by her mum, my grandmother, in 1940, is exactly the same as the Bible that I read today. Did you know that's the only thing that's remained stable and constant over my 59 years of life? You know, in my 59 years of life, science has changed a lot. Things that I believed back then, we don't believe now. You know, public opinion has changed a lot since I've been on this earth. Cultural norms have changed a lot. The law has changed. Fashion has changed. Music has changed. Family has changed. Even the weather has changed. But this hasn't. None of those things that I've just mentioned are a solid foundation of truth. They shift. But this has remained the same. You know, in Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He's not shifted by public opinion. He's not shifted according to science or to man's opinion or to your experience. So when he says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, that is our truth. That is truth. He also says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 might fall at your right side, but it shall not come near to you. That is our truth. Matthew 5:18 says, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot, not one title will by no means pass away until the law is fulfilled." Until Jesus comes back, this thing ain't changing. We've got to check our foundations of truth. Because we need a foundation of truth that doesn't shift. My foundation of truth is in God's word. I don't have to go at maybe, yes, maybe, no. It's the only thing in my life that has stayed absolutely rock solid all of my years. There's a parable in Matthew 7:24 about two men. One man, well, they both were building houses. One man built his house upon sand. The other man built his house upon rock. And it said the wind came and blew against the houses. And the man who built his house upon the sand, his house collapsed. And I can guarantee you, he was sitting inside his house fearful. He was experiencing fear because he knew that the foundation of his house could be shifted. Now the man across the street who had built his house on the rock was sitting comfortable, at peace, and knowing and trusting that his house would not fall because it was built on a foundation that does not shift. See, that parable is about what I'm talking about this morning. It's about, is your house built on something that is permanent? Or do you have to fear winds when they come? Or is your life going to be solid and strong on a foundation that will never move? Today, we can leave fear behind. Because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. I'd challenge you this morning to start evaluating fear in your life and reject it. Say, God, I choose not to fear that because my trust is in you. Learn scriptures that counter your fear and build your life on a truth that is solid. Build your life on a foundation that isn't shifting, and it's not going to shift until Jesus comes back. Trust in the God who loves you. Just as I finish up, I just ask that right where you are, just close your eyes. And I'm just going to read a scripture over you. And I just want you to allow it to take place in your heart. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Lord, I thank you this morning that you love us, you care for us, and you're looking after us. Your will is that we would live free and in peace and without the bondage of fear around our neck. Just while your eyes are closed, if there's anyone here this morning, anyone hearing the sound of my voice, if you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never taken the gift, remember Jesus bought the keys of fear. He bought back your right to live free and at peace. And all you need to do is accept and believe the truth that he's offering you this morning. If you want to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, I would like you or invite you to pray a simple prayer with me. And watch and see God come in and change your heart and release you from fear as he did with me. If that's you this morning, I ask you to pray this prayer with me this morning. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you came to set me free. Jesus, I ask that you forgive me of my sins and my faithlessness of the past, my fear. I ask that you forgive me for not trusting you. I ask you forgive me for all of the things that I've done wrong. And I ask that you come this morning and take your place in my heart. Be my King, be my Lord, be my foundation of truth. Lord, I ask that you would bless me today. And I want to walk with you every day of my life and continue in your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've prayed that prayer this morning, that's the best decision you could ever possibly make. Jesus wants us to live free and at peace. Thank you this morning for joining us, Pastor Stuart.